my partner wasn't sure if he wanted to have children. It had turned out that I had a bunch of like gynecological problems. I'd gone to doctor after doctor and they just kept saying like, you shouldn't be in pain, you have a small cyst, like there's no reason to be in this much pain. And they just kept basically telling me I was crazy, which is par for the course. Even female doctors were telling me, you know, like, oh, it's nothing. But I finally saw this really good doctor and he said something's wrong, right? Like you had a surgery to remove this cyst. I had one already and I had another one, and he's like, it shouldn't be in this much pain. So why don't we look, you know, do you consent to doing like an exploratory surgery? And he went in and came back and said like, you had like the worst case of endometriosis I've ever seen. And it was so vindicating, right? Because for years I'd just been told, you know, I mean, I started my period when I was 11. And so he's like, it seems like you've had it your whole life. And so I was 26 at the time when he found it. So they cleaned it all up and they said, you know, this is really serious. So you need to think about having kids now or maybe not for a long time, if ever. I came home and I talked to my partner and we were still unsure, but he was definitely leaning more towards the maybe we can try having a kid, which I was excited but then nervous about. Because it's different when like you have to make a decision as opposed to naturally. They said, you know, like standard surgery stuff, where you're going to have surgery, you're going to start your period right away. I didn't. And I was like, okay, I want to take a pregnancy test. And for the first time, he had really cued into this like struggle. And he was like, I'm so sorry. I know it's hard for you to see a negative test. And I didn't say anything. And he said it was negative, right? And I just shook my head. And after that, I did, you know, I'm a reader and a researcher and like a full-time student always. And so that's how I define myself, as I'm a writer and then I'm a mom. So I guess that's really it. I bought all these books and, you know, I started watching the huge documentary, you know, The Business of Being Born. And it changed the way I looked at birth. I didn't understand any of the medicalization or that C-sections were even bad. But I also feel like it affected my expectations in a way that was really negative too. I really felt, you know, like prepared and excited, and it changed. But well, I had wanted to see the doctor that had done all the great work for me on the endometriosis. But after watching the documentary, I noticed very quickly that his inclination was to surgery, and I was distrustful of him and immediately found midwives. You know, I called my OB and they were like, we'll see you at 6 weeks. And I was really scared. I had been through a miscarriage very young. And so I was like, I don't want to wait 6 weeks. And when I called the midwives, they were like, oh, come in tomorrow and we'll, you know, get you on vitamins and we'll start all this process. So I felt immediately more comfortable. It was all women. It's hard to remember now because I'm in that like phase where I remember pregnancy being amazing. And I know that it was not at all. I mean, he was huge. He cracked one of my ribs in my 8 month of pregnancy from just kicking it. I mean, yeah, it was uncomfortable. And for me, like, I remember it was a big decision we had to make with my partner. The last month of pregnancy, I was like, I want to take maternity leave early. I knew I wasn't going back to my job. We talked and talked about it. And finally, I just said, like, I've been in school full time and working full time my whole life. Like, this is the last chance I get. I want to take the time off. And so we finally agreed, okay, I'll take the last month off. And all I did was sit around and watch, like, 16 and Pregnant and eat burritos. And it was amazing, but also horrible, because when I took the time off, I was like, I'm going to read all these books and I'm going to be so productive. And I think I watched every episode of 16 and Pregnant because I found it on Amazon and was like, I'm never, because watching that made me feel so prepared. I was like, okay, like I'm at least better than everybody in this show, which is horrible, but it's totally true, because I was terrified. But watching that, I was like, this is, I've got this down, right? Like, I have a painted nursery. Little did I know. None of that mattered, but. And then, like, right before my due date, I remember I was just so stressed and tense about it. And I have, like, post-traumatic stress disorder and anxiety disorder. And so my therapist had been telling me, you know, like, be aware of your body because it manifests bodily, because that might have an effect on your labor. But I had read all of these books by Ina May and whoever else, and I had thought, you know, like, I went to yoga and I know how to do yoga breathing, and I we have a labor tub, like, this is, it's going to be fine. And so my midwife noticed that I was really tense a few days before my due date, and she said, you know, you're still 3 centimeters, you look good, but it's not time yet. She just told me, she'd go home, take a bath, drink a glass of wine, like, do, and just calm down. And so I kept thinking my water had broke, and finally they were like, you know, put a pad in, and if it's soaked within, you know, 20 minutes, then your water has broken and come in. And I woke up, I think it had to have been like 11:30, and I woke up and I stood up and I had this huge contraction, and just like a bucket of water just came out, right? I mean, and only 1 in 10 women even have their water break naturally. And so I woke my partner up and I said, you know, my water broke. And he's like, no, it didn't. Because I'd been doing this all week, right? Where I'm like, I know. And I was like, no, it really happened. And he said, okay. And so we went downstairs and we left. But by that point, I think my contractions were like 3 minutes apart. I mean, seemed to be going really fast. We went to the hospital. They didn't have a room for us. And so I remember I was out in the waiting room and, you know, there's all these people with like balloons and stuffed animals, and it's 1 in the morning, they're waiting to see their happy nieces and nephews, and I'm like holding on to the wall, like trying not to scream, like just pouring fluid everywhere. It was horrible. And finally, like, they got a room for me, and like I knew like something was wrong, right? It was horrible. It was more pain than I had ever imagined. And that was one thing that really shocked me, is I remember thinking, like, I read tons of books and none of them just said like it's going to hurt worse than anything you've ever felt in your life. And it's like, why was this not in the books? Like, sure, I have a labor tub and sure, I have, you know, like good breathing skills and a tennis ball on my back, but none of it's working. So we're tearing my clothes off because I didn't want them on my body, and they waiting for the labor tub to fill. And once I finally got into the labor tub, that helped for a while, because at this point, I think my contractions were like a minute and a half apart, and it was really, really bad, and it was really painful. And I just kept thinking, like, nobody told me it was going to be this bad. And then I felt stupid because I'm like, well, of course it was going to be bad. And we had had this, you know, ridiculous, now I look at it and I just laugh, like this ridiculous birth plan, right? Like, we're going to have essential oils and soft music playing and no lights on and no hospital gowns and no hospital personnel and no medication. And it's so idealistic. So this was, I think, like 6 hours, maybe four or five hours. And they were like, hey, we're going to check you. And I thought for sure, you know, I was 6 or 7, I was 4 centimeters. And I just, like, I'm doing all this stupid breathing stuff and visualization and none of it's working. And I finally just, I just can't do it. And I said, like, I need something, like, I don't want an epidural. And I think because he was taken by surprise, and because I had told him so adamantly that I didn't want medication, my partner kind of, I don't want to say argued with me, but was like, are you sure you want this? And I had taken this as like disappointment, and like, he's disappointed in me and I'm weak for needing it. And I was just like, I don't care. So they gave me, I think it was Demerol, and they had to like hold me down and give me a shot because I didn't have an IV. And it didn't do anything. Like, it just made me dizzy and made me sick. And I was like, well, why the hell would you tell me this would help? Because it didn't help, and now I feel like I failed, and I'm not even relieved of any pain. Now, if my midwife at that point had said, the next 6 will go 1,000 times faster, but nobody told me that either. And so I felt defeated and tired, and I remember thinking if I could just get like 20 minutes of sleep, I would have done so much better. And so I was in the labor tub, and I remember, like, clear as day, even now, I had this horrible contraction, and all I wanted to do was push. And I said, like, all right, like, I need to push. And they said, no, there's no way. There's no way. And I said, yes, there is. And they're like, you don't want me to check you. And I said, yes, I want you, like, you need to do it. So I got out of the tub, I, you know, dried off or whatever, and they checked me, and they were like, oh my God, it's time to push. They said, there's a lip of your cervix that we can wait for, or we can manually push it. And I said, and they said, it will hurt really bad. I said, I don't care, I'm in so much pain, just do it, wait for the contraction and do it. And so they did it, and I started pushing, and it felt really good. Like, I felt really happy. I was excited, and it was still painful, but I was channeling that pain into pushing. And I hit like a second stride, and or maybe a first stride, because I never really felt like I had one. And I was pushing and pushing, and my midwife kept saying, like, oh, you're doing so good, like, good job. She was being really encouraging. And then she left. And she said, just take a break. And she left. And she came back with a woman I didn't know who looked like a doctor. And the midwife says to the doctor right in front of me, she's been pushing for 2.5 hours, and the baby hasn't moved. And I was like, were you going to tell me? And so the doctor said, well, like, not at all. And he said, no, the baby hasn't descended. The baby, she's 10 centimeters. We moved the cervical lip. I mean, the baby was fine, right? But hasn't descended at all. And so she, I remember the doctor goes in to like feel the baby, and it was horrible. Like the pain was awful. And she said, he's stuck. He's twisted. He's in the wrong position. He's never going to come out this way. So I need to twist him back. And I said, okay, fine, twist him back. And she tried to do it, and I just couldn't handle it. And I think part of it's because she was a complete stranger. And now I see, like, it's my PTSD and it's all these things. I mean, she had her whole hand up my vagina. Like, of course it would cause me anxiety. And so she said, like, you need to get an epidural. Like, she can't do this. Like, it's time for an epidural. Like, she just, and at that point, I think I fought for a little bit, and I just gave up. So the anesthesiologist comes in, and, you know, you have to sit up straight and hold your back really still, which is incredibly hard when you have contractions coming every, you know, 45, 30 seconds. And he's like, okay, it's in, wait 20 minutes, and, you know, it'll start to feel much better. And 20 minutes pass, and I'm like, I still feel everything. And the thing that was bothering me the most is that the nurses didn't believe me. And I was like, no, I'm telling you, I feel everything. And so the anesthesiologist came back and said, oh my God, you're right. He was really nice. And he did it a second time, and the second time it worked. And so I was pushing, and it was the same thing. It was so much harder because I couldn't feel anything, but I had the midwife I liked and, you know, my partner, and they were holding my legs back. And it was so weird because I was pushing something I couldn't feel, but they kept saying, like, you're doing good. Like, keep pushing. You're doing great. And they're like, okay, just take a break. Your contractions are slowing down, which I'm sure was because of the epidural. And I was starting to get frustrated, but I wasn't not in pain. I remember when it stopped, the pain stopped, and they said, like, you just had a contraction, I started crying. And I remember it was because I was so relieved, but also because I was so sad. And I didn't expect to be sad when the pain was gone, but I was. I felt, like, defeated. They came back and they said, okay, you really have to push. You really have to put into this. And I did, and it seemed like things were going well. And then the doctor came back in and they said the baby still has not moved at all, and it had been another 2 hours of pushing. And so I said no. I said, I'm not getting a C-section. And the doctor said, I'll let you push another hour, but that's it. This is all you get. And if the baby hasn't moved, we need to move on. And I think a big moment for me that was really devastating was in that between time of, like, we'll let you push one more time, in between the pushing one more time and them telling me, I had sat on the epidural button because they had put it in the wrong. And so I got, like, way numb way fast, which wasn't supposed to happen. And that was also, like, a horrible thing. I remember my fingers feeling tingly. And again, I'm telling the nurses, like, something's wrong. And they're like, no, it's fine. And then finally, my partner sees that I'm on the fucking button. And so then they're like, okay, well, we're going to try pushing again. And I knew that third time I was pushing that last hour that it just wasn't, I knew it was going to happen because I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't feel my chest. I was devastated. I remember I was laying there and I was like naked, and the sun was coming in, and I had all these nurses and midwives and doctors and my partner, and I was just hysterical. And I think both the midwife I trusted and my partner, like, at the same time was like, fuck, can you give her a minute, right? Like, she's completely losing it here. And so everybody left, and I just calmed down, and I told my partner, I said, it was really hard, and I finally just said, fine, whatever, like, I don't care. So then they started prepping, and I don't remember any of that. I remember, you know, that obviously they put an IV in. I don't remember being wheeled to the room. That's something that I've been trying to conjure, and I just don't remember any of it. I remember being in the room, and I remember just laying there crying. There's all these people around me. I can't move, and the curtain was there. And I remember I just kept saying, like, I want him to go straight to my chest. And my midwife said, absolutely, we can still do that. And I said, and I told everybody that would listen, I want to get my skin to skin. I want him right on my chest. I'd like, that's fine. Like, fine, I have a C-section. Because they said, sometimes we move babies and they move right back. And I said, well, just his temperament alone, I can see, like, maybe that's the type of baby he is. And they said, it's, of course, he'll go just like a regular birth. And that's what I kept saying. That was a big deal to me. It was written 15 times in my birth plan. And I had come to terms with it pretty quickly. But I said, like, but I, as long as he gets put on my chest, and everyone agreed that was going to happen. And I remember it was dim because I told them I didn't want the lights on. And so my midwife tried very hard to make it how I wanted it. And I'll never forget, like, it's so hard for me. I remember my partner saying that's it. Like, that's our son. Can you hear our son? And I couldn't. And then all of a sudden, so like, I'm hearing the sound behind me. And I was like, where is he? But no one can hear me because I'm so drugged that I can't lift my head up. And I just remember saying, like, where the fuck is my baby? And my partner's trying to stay with me. And I was like, why isn't he on my chest? And he said, well, he was 10 pounds. That's why he wouldn't come out, whatever. And I was like, where's my baby? Like, I don't care how big he is. And when they did finally put it, he was wrapped in this blanket, and I couldn't even lift my head. I remember trying to tell anybody, but I couldn't project my voice. I remember trying to say, like, somebody help me. Like, I couldn't even see him. I mean, it was horrible. It was the worst feeling I've ever felt in my entire life, was like there was this blanket between us, and it was horrible. It was like the one moment I wanted, and it just didn't happen. And I mean, it's ridiculous that it bothers me because we're so bonded, but it still really, it made a big difference to me. And I wanted, like, there was nothing more in my entire life I've ever wanted than to lift my head up and hold my own baby, and I couldn't do either one because I was so drugged and I was so unhappy. And I remember feeling really guilty for being so unhappy because it's supposed to be like the best moment of my life, and it's fucking hard and it's painful and it's awful. And I felt like it was a huge disservice to me that I was told this was a magical, mystical, beautiful, transcending experience. And I'm sure for some people it is, and great for them, but my experience has been that it's not, and most people that I talk to, it's not. When people say that because the baby is here and healthy, there's nothing to worry about, they're removing the mother from the equation, which makes me really angry because, like, it didn't happen to the baby, it happened to me, and it happened to my body. And, like, the birth experience is more my experience than it is his. Of course I'm happy that I have a baby. That's why I got pregnant, and that's why I didn't have an abortion or give him up for adoption. But that doesn't mean that something didn't happen to me and that I wasn't there. And basically, it's how when people ask women how they're doing, what they really want you to say is fine, right? I'm doing fine. And I feel like that's the same thing with, like, childbirth. If someone does ask you, they don't want to hear, like, I felt like my insides were being ripped inside out. They just want to hear, like, it was a beautiful, magical experience, and it was the best day of my life. And it's that whole, like, mothers are selfish if they think about themselves. And it's like, I'm a person and I'm a mother. I'm not one or the other.